morning, and may God bless each of you this morning as we worship and study and draw close to God. Just invite you all to just let God speak to your hearts, and I'm sure He has something for each one of you, including myself. Purpose of our worship services is to draw close to God, to learn from His Word, and to leave this service better equipped and more committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that will be your experience. The title of the sermon this morning is The High Price of Running from God. The High Price of Running from God. And all of us are either running from God or running to Him and with Him. We're either running away from a circumstance or difficulty or what it is, whatever it is that we may find ourselves in throughout our Christian experience and our lives, or we're running closer to God and we're drawing closer. And I believe that is really what we want to do all through our Christian experience. We're going to look at the book of Jonah, the life of Jonah, this morning, and what a story for us to read, to think about, to make applications to our lives, and most of all, to get a picture and a better understanding of the God that we worship and serve. Before we go to the book of Jonah, I want you to think about a psalm, a very precious psalm to me. I'm going to read it. And throughout the sermon, I want to just drive this point home of the mercy of God and really what this means to think about a merciful God. Psalm 103:8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Peter talks about the abundant mercy of God, and it's plenteous. "He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." I'll just stop and reflect on that for a minute and really think about a merciful God. And it's just going to touch your heart when you understand and you know this God who's merciful. You're going to want to get to know God better. He is not a God up in heaven with a big hammer and ready to disown us every mistake we make. He is not a God that is is impatient, but He does have anger, and He's very long-suffering, which means that He is able and willing to suffer a long time on behalf of someone who has his back turned towards and against God, is running away from God, as we will see in the life of Jonah. So to read the book of Jonah, you will see the world through God's eyes. And it was just a powerful experience for me to just meditate a long time on this book and think about it on many different ways. Some questions maybe that I didn't answer yet and I don't have answers for. But when you do that, you get a picture of God. It's one of the books in the Old Testament that is the closest to the New Testament, in that it's an out-of-the-box experience Jonah was asked to do, And we see a picture of God's heart for the world. And every nation is important to God. He can save an entire nation today. Russia, Iran, Israel. We have prophecies that that will happen for Israel. And here, Nineveh, what an experience this was, where you have an entire nation repenting with sackcloth and ashes, crying out to God and turning from sin, and a revival happening from the king all the way down to every, from the greatest to the least. What an experience that would be, and I think every one of us would love to be involved in an experience like that. And Jonah had a privilege to be the messenger, to be in the center of a revival like this. And he struggled. And we want to look at the story and try to make some applications to that. So the story of Jonah seems to be before the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel in 721 BC. Now, some time ago, Ray preached on Nahum. And that was later, the fall, the actual fall of Nineveh and Assyria. 100 years later, after the revival happened, Babylon did come in and Nineveh was utterly destroyed. And so we get another picture there of how quick a revival can lose its impact. And how quick we can go back to sin, all of us. It's a call and a warning for all of us to think about how we are prone to fall away from God and run from God and His ways. So Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Jonah was a prophet of God, a well-respected prophet, I believe, from what I read about him. I picture him a little different than Jeremiah and some of the other prophets who had a message that was resisted and they were hated. Jonah possibly was sending a message that was well received. Some commentaries and some writers thought that Jonah was more in that setting than Jeremiah and some who preached destruction to people that didn't want to hear and hated him and all of that. So this was something that went against his reputation to reach outside the box and go preach to a Gentile nation and to see good things happening to an enemy. So we'll get into all of that. But so in the story of Jonah, we find a man running away from an opportunity that comes perhaps once in a lifetime. I want to be merciful with Jonah as well. And I want to try to put each one of us in that experience and see and think about how we would have responded and how we respond to some of the out-of-the-box experiences that God may ask us to do. I don't have any examples, but something that's totally out of the box. And I'm not sure I would be just jumping and saying, yes, go do something that all of you are going to be saying, whoa, what's this preacher doing? It was something like that. A Gentile nation. An enemy at that, there were prophecies that Assyria would come in and overtake Israel, and he's going to preach to them. So you can kind of see somewhat of what Jonah was put into. So the first point is Jonah is running from God. Let's go to the book of Jonah. 4 chapters, it's an easy read. And a lot of good applications that you can make from the book, and we can learn from it. And that's my prayer this morning, that we would learn from this experience and get a better glimpse of who God is. And really be people that believe that an entire city and an entire nation can repent and come back to God today. And that could happen, and these things are not outside of the ability of God. So Jonah chapter 1, very brief description. We do not have a lot of detail to Jonah's experience, but it just starts by saying, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." A prophet of God running from God. A man that is running away from God, and running away from the will of God, and running away from what he knew was the right thing to do. We don't have a lot of detail on his struggle and maybe his process and how long he struggled here and how did he come up to this conclusion to run to Joppa to get to onto a ship and go directly west of Nineveh, where Nineveh was east, away from God and away from the will of God. Now, in the Old Testament, God spoke clearly to the prophets. It was not an easy call to be a prophet. A prophet stood between God and the people, and he took the message from God. God spoke in times past, Hebrews says, through the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son. So it's a difference, but you think about God speaking through the prophets. The prophet took the message from God and declared it to the people. The priest stood between God and the people as well, and the priest took the offerings and sacrifices from the people and stood between God and the people. So the role of the prophet and the priest were very important in the life of Israel. So God spoke directly, God spoke clearly, God spoke to the prophets. And many of them had messages that were hard. It's something that you didn't raise your hand and say, "Yay, I'm called to be a prophet." It was a life of hardship, a life of death, a life of persecution. They persecuted the prophets. And it's a lot the same today, too. A prophet today, even though we have a change where God speaks through his Son and the Holy Spirit living within, there are still prophets today who are called to prophesy and declare the Word of God. All of us declare the Word of God, which is a form of prophecy, prophetic speaking, and also prophets who see and hear things from God that others cannot see. And it's not easy to be a prophet. Prophets are many times misunderstood. So the message came very clear for Jonah to arise and go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. And this was an enemy. I don't know what all Jonah struggled through. I have a couple ideas that I came up with, but I want you to be very patient and very kind and very understanding to the prophet Jonah, even though he fell in a very deep way. This arise and go to Nineveh, and he rose and went to Tarshish, and along with that, I believe many sinful choices may have entered into it as well. I don't know how far he fell, but the point is, he ran away from God. He resisted and rejected the voice of God and the call of God and the will of God upon his life. Can we do the same thing today? It might be, I want you to sell everything you have and go into the foreign mission field, something like that. It might be a calling that we have, or it could be anything. I believe we can, as well today, run away from the will of God and the voice of God ourselves, where we struggle to understand everything that God is doing in our lives. So I believe some of the reasons that I wrote down that I think were part of the struggle in Jonah's heart And maybe there were others. It doesn't have a lot of detail to his process of coming to this decision. But first of all, Assyria was an enemy of Israel. Now put yourself, and it's very hard for us to do, to put ourselves in the Old Testament and how it would be to live in times of the Old Testament where they were asked to kill and destroy the enemy. The enemy that was coming against Israel, as long as Israel followed God, they were promised protection and they were promised that God would destroy the enemy. And so I believe possibly there were feelings inside of Jonah's heart that maybe he hadn't worked through completely. How do we put this into our own experience? Someone who's an enemy and really treated us wrong and really was cruel to our family or whatever it might be, and now you're to go preach redemption and preach to them, and possibly he was working through feelings towards the enemies. Nineveh. The second struggle, which we have a hard time grasping, Nineveh was a Gentile city, and God chose Jews as the covenant people of God. So everyone that came into a relationship with God came into a covenant relationship with God through Israel, through the covenants. And so this was out-of-the-box experience where you have a whole Gentile city repenting and worshiping Jehovah God outside of Judaism, outside of the covenant, so to speak. But so it was more of a New Testament experience, and that indeed was a struggle. Peter, you look at Peter's experience and you can get an understanding of a little how hard that was for a Jew. Peter in the same city, Jonah went down to Joppa, and that's where Peter was living at the time of Cornelius. And Cornelius and servants came down, or servants of Cornelius came down to Joppa, the very same city, and started knocking on the door. And so Peter was now sitting down with Gentiles, and he was struggling here. And God had dealt with him through a vision and all of that experience. God had to work hard to bring Peter to the place where he was ready to sit down with a Gentile. And I think that helps us to understand what all may have been going on in Jonah's experience as well. This is a Gentile city. And so there were feelings between the Jews and the Gentiles too, struggles. He was afraid from the story. If you read the book, it was clear that from the very beginning and at the very end, after the whole city repented, Jonah came back to God and said, "I knew from the very beginning that judgment would be lifted if they repent." And so he justified it at the end. And so he was afraid they might repent and be spared judgment. So he really wanted to see them destroyed. He really wanted to see the city destroyed. And he struggled and struggled again. And God dealt with him again. So we see the mercy of God. And I believe the fourth thing that may have been part of his struggle was his reputation, which we all like a healthy reputation. So what were his countrymen going to say if God spares the city? This is the enemy. This is the ones that are destined to overtake Israel. In 722, they did come in. And so this is before that. And so Jonah's working through all of it. This is an enemy country. And so God is doing something out of the box here. And Jonah was struggling here. So we can understand a little bit. I think we would have struggled too. So it helps us to understand the story a little bit when we understand some of the struggles and what his calling really was, what he was called to do. I don't really have an example how that would hit us today, but so Jonah was struggling. How long he struggled here, we don't really know. But I want you to think about your own life and your own experiences and your own struggles and how God responds to you. As we look at the story of Jonah, running away from God, jumping on a ship, possibly drinking beer, whatever it was. I think Jonah fell pretty far. And he was to the point that he was out of the presence of God, running from the presence of God, it says, and he was going his own way. So he went down to find a ship. He paid the fare. And he got on the ship and headed the other way. Now, if Jonah would have known the cost of his choice, he would have made a different choice. And it is the same for us, too. The high cost. You have some people that I see who've chose the path of sin, thinking they can just go a little bit, and how many more are affected. Families are affected, and you see an old grandpa with 7 children and 80 grandchildren, and you see that picture and you stand back, how far reaching your choices really are to think about. How many lives this would affect. But then we also look at the mercy of God through it all. So we're either running from God or in His will, or we're running to God and surrendering to His will. We've heard it said, sin will take you farther than you ever thought you would go. It will take you places, the far-reaching effects of sinful choices and running from God. Sometimes people never do come back. And how sad it is. Many run away from God and continue to run away from God and reject and resist the chastening of God. Every son whom the Lord receives, the Bible tells us, God chastens. And I want to think a little bit about that. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" And in the story of Jonah, we're going to see the chastening and the discipline of God in a very real way. And how God's mercy just was strong through it all. So the first thing that happened was a storm. It's very clear from the scripture. In verse 4, Jonah 1, verse 4, it says, "The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." So in the chastening of God in Jonah's life, we see a storm, we see a great fish, and then at the end, we see a plant. God still deals with him in the last chapter, chapter 4. So the first thing that comes upon them is a storm. Now the seamen, the ones on the ship, were afraid. Now on the Mediterranean, storms were common, and I believe this is something that they were familiar with, but not a storm like this. This was a storm. This was a storm that was arranged by God to get everyone's attention on that ship. And wow, did a revival ever happen on the ship? Jonah was down in the bottom part of the ship, somewhere sleeping. And this storm, rough weather, brought this ship to the point of just almost sinking. They started to throw things overboard and throw some of their possessions overboard to save the ship. And this is how bad it was. They were wrestling. And it says that all of them began to cry out to their gods. So this is the picture of many of people in that time and today as well. Everyone has different gods that they cry out to. So they're crying out to their gods, "Save us." And Jonah is down in the ship sleeping. Just a sign of his spiritual sleep. I believe it was a sleep of unconcern. A storm like that, to be sleeping, I believe he knew quite well that he's running far from God, and I don't know that he was ready for this storm where God was going to deal with him. So I believe that's one of the signs that happens when a person is running away from God. We enter into a spiritual sleep, and people lose touch from God, and they do not hear God's voice anymore like they did in the past, and there's just a falling away, a running from God, and a spiritual sleep that goes along with it. Jonah was sleeping, the storm was raging, and they go down and wake him up and ask who he is. And it's at this time where Jonah identifies himself as a Hebrew, and he recognizes that he worships and fears Jehovah God, who created the earth and the seas. It's what he says in the first chapter. Jonah identifies himself as a Hebrew and one who worships God. And he also identifies and acknowledges his sin of running away from God and running from the presence of God. So he fesses up on the ship. And they cast lots, which was a practice among heathen as well as the Hebrews. We read of stories where they cast lots, so they all cast lots. And I'm not sure how this all happened, but the lot fell on Jonah, and they all accepted, and he accepted. He is the cause. So they are trying to save their lives and ask him to cry out to the God. And I like this part. I'm going to read it here. It says in verse, I'm going to start reading at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship in the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship where he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, for if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the very presence of God, because he told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth and the tempests. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so that the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wroth and the tempest was against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So you see desperate prayers, and even the seamen in charge of the ship began to pray to God, to Jehovah God. They were afraid to throw him overboard, and Jonah was at the place where he was ready to die. When he said, Throw me overboard, you know as well as I that in about 3 minutes, you're dead. So he was willing to die for his sin. He was willing to give up his life. That's how low he fell and how far he was from the presence of God. He was willing to end his life. And God was not finished with Jonah yet. God was ready to do a great work in his heart and life. And when God says, I want to save a city and I need a messenger, he meant it. So this is a miracle. When you read of Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale or a great fish, we always read that story and wow, what an experience that would be, and imagine how it would be. But number one, it was a miracle of God. No one can live in the ocean for 3 days and three nights. No one can live in the belly of a whale and live and breathe and survive outside of a miracle of God. So God spared his life and overrode the situation, even though he had fallen so far from God. There were desperate prayers, and there was a revival that happened. We don't have a whole story of that ship and the change that happened in that ship through this experience. So even though Jonah fell and failed, God was still working. And the point I want to make here is we have many failures, and we do not always follow God like we should, but God works through our mistakes and failures. This is a picture of the mercy of God that I can't fully explain to you, and how God really cares for sinners, and how God cares for those that are fallen, and how God works in their life. So the first point of God's mercy was in Jonah's life was the storm. What a merciful act that was to bring Jonah to the place of being thrown overboard. It wasn't a good experience. It wasn't a pleasant experience. There was a lot of pain involved with that. But this is the mercy of God. God saw the end. God saw the Jonah after the 3 days and the three nights. And God was doing a work. And many times he does it in our lives in the same way. He wants us to rebound and come back after a failure. Come back after a mistake. Come back after a sin or whatever it might be, to be restored and be made better. So Jonah is thrown overboard and immediately the storm stops. That really brought a fear of God to that boat. And they all began to worship God, the storm. You would think possibly they could have been a bit angry with Jonah and all the pain that he caused to this ship and their lives and everything that was thrown overboard and the things they lost and all the pain and the frustration. But they were worshiping God and they saw God in all of this. And they began to cry out to God, forsaking the small g gods and all the idols that they worshiped. What a powerful story. And we don't have the ending of all that and how that ship and all those that were on that ship. So God was working there, even through failure and mistake and mercy of God. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and very patient in the lives of sinners and those who are running from God. So in spite of Jonah's sin, he was still a missionary. He identified himself as a Hebrew, number one. Always, wherever we go, we want to identify ourselves as a Hebrew, a child of God, a spiritual Jew, and who we are in Christ Jesus. And he did that. He acknowledged his sin and his mistake, and he was ready to pay the consequences. So you see a bit of his surrender in that way. So Jonah was a missionary revealing Jehovah God to unbelievers in spite of his sin. God is not limited in his ability to save. I'm not promoting running from God. I'm not asking you to go try and test God. No, not at all. I want you to see a picture of the merciful God in working with sinners and working with those who unbelievers. The same thing can happen today. So now you have the second act is a great fish. another act of mercy. So Jonah's overboard. A minute later, or shortly after that, a great fish comes, and now he's in the belly of a whale. No one can live 3 days or three nights, as I mentioned, without God in the ocean. No one would enjoy the life in the belly of a whale with seaweed wrapped out around his head, and now he is in a point of struggle, in a point of despair, wishing he was somewhere else. And chapter 2, if you take the time to read it, it's Jonah's prayer. The whole chapter 2 is Jonah's prayer in the belly of a whale, where God began to work with that prophet in a way that is hard for us to imagine and explain and understand and believe. Many are discrediting this miracle today. Writers and those say it cannot be. Well, yes, alone it cannot be, but God works in mysterious ways. Just stand back in awe as you think about God and that great fish. The first point that I have here, in the belly of a whale, Jonah prayed. Any place in the world can become a chapel. It doesn't have to be a setting like this. Any place in the world, from a belly of a fish, Jonah began to cry out to God in despair. Jonah began to acknowledge his sin. Jonah began to worship Jehovah God. Jonah began to. It's a whole chapter of a prayer of Jonah crying out to God. And wow, what an experience and what a story we have. So anywhere, wherever we are, can become a chapel. Yes, this was very costly. This was not a comfortable experience at all. But in the belly of a whale is where God changed Jonah's heart and God changed Jonah's mind. And it was in there that Jonah said, I'll go. And he surrendered to the will of God. After that chastening and after that dealing of God, he was ready to go to Nineveh. And it says, the last verse there, after his prayer, the Lord spake to the fish. You see the sovereign hand of God just ruling the storm, the fish. Now God says it's time. The fish, he controlled the fish. The great whale, whatever it was, came to the shore and vomited out a prophet. Out comes Jonah. What a humbling experience to land on the beach and to land on the shore. A prophet just humbled by such an experience like that. And there is where we have the word of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I love that. And here we see that the chastening of God is not a pleasant experience. We also see that God is a God of second chances. Third chances, fourth chances. Some people accuse me of preaching a revival after the rapture. I said, God is a God of second chances. I'm quite okay with that. I don't care how God does everything. God will do it right. But I believe in the tribulation period, you're going to have many people crying out to God in the same way. That's God. If you don't see a God of second chances, you don't understand God. If you don't see the mercy of God, you don't understand God. You don't understand the heart of God. Chastening is for this very purpose, to bring us back. And he works with us, and he works with us, and he works with us. So take heart. In Hebrews 12, 7 to 12, we have an encouragement to those who might be hopeless through the chastening of God. And it says, we are to lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Lift up your hands. Take hope and courage. And here's where Jonah picked up his cross where he left it down, and he's headed to Nineveh. And he preached the word of the Lord. He said what God wanted him to say. He was ready. He was humbled. He was broken. He was not yet ready, and he didn't understand. He was still afraid that they might repent. Let's just be merciful to Jonah. We don't understand all of that. It would be such a wonderful and glorious experience. We're in the New Testament. We can understand this a little better than he could. We don't have that same struggle that he did. An enemy receiving the gospel and being spared judgment. He was still afraid of that. But a revival happened, chapter 3, where the whole nation, the whole country began to repent. What a revival that would be. What an experience that would be. And here we can see the heart of God for the world. Every city. God cares about cities today. God wants churches in cities today. God wants prophets and preachers and missionaries in cities all around the world today. When God is ready to move, he needs people willing to work and open their mouth and preach. I believe God will do some things like that again. And we need to be the people of God that can see this happening and can go into the places no one will go and to do the things that are unpopular and do not make us popular in this world's eyes. Some of those things. So a revival happened. People believed in God from the greatest to the least. The king issued a decree for everyone to repent in sackcloth and ashes. And you have a whole city, the great city, repenting. And when God saw that, verse 10 of chapter 3, God saw their works and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. And he did it not. Judgment was spared. When God sees a person repent, no matter how far they've fallen, God lifts the judgment. And we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel of repentance. Luke chapter 22, it says. Chapter 4, I'm not going to have much time, so I'm going to just finish. Parts we might struggle with. But again, you have a prophet who's not totally in tune with God. How merciful and patient God is, just is what I want to drive home and impress upon your hearts and minds, the patience and love and mercy of God. Jonah was angry when God lifted the judgment. It says that he pouted. He was angry. And even justified running to Tarshish, he says that to God, he began to pray, and he says this, I knew this. Therefore, and he prayed again, verse 2, the Lord said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto the Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And here again, Jonah was ready to die over a great revival. I just want to focus on the mercy of God yet a second time to Jonah. How much he cared for Jonah, and he came again, and Jonah built a little booth, sat by himself, and he's angry, wanting to die, watching the city to see if it would be destroyed. He really wanted to see the destruction of the city, and God caused the plant to grow up and bring him shade. Another act of mercy. And this was just an object lesson for Jonah to get it. How slow we are sometimes to get it and to understand, and God comes and allows a plant to grow overnight and bring him shade. And now Jonah's comforted. He's sitting there. Wow, this feels good. On a hot day like we're in right now. Yes, a little shade would feel so good. God allowed that plant to grow. And then he caused a worm to kill that plant. And the plant withered and died. And Jonah's now hot again. And God came to him and said, Jonah, you didn't bring that plant up. Yet you had compassion. And you appreciated it? Should I not have compassion on Nineveh? End of story. I wish there'd be a little more detail. I wish we'd know a little bit more about Jonah's life and how it all ends. But what I want to close with, just a couple things. You know, God is a loving and a compassionate God. And as we work with sinners and unbelievers, let's remember the mercy of God. God is interested in cities today, such as Nineveh, that have a harvest in them. Remember that. God is no respecter of persons. In every nation, whoever fears God and works righteousness is acceptable with Him. People in Russia can get saved. People in Iran can get saved. People all over the world, we need to engage in the work of God today. We can rejoice with God over sinners that repent. So all of us are either running from God or running with Him and to Him. Which one are you doing? Are you running to God, running with Him, or are you at the place of running away? So remember, there's a high price. In the story of Jonah, we see a high price that goes with running from God. And most of all, God is a merciful God. He does not deal with us according to our sins. If He did, we'd all be consumed. He has mercy. He brings forgiveness. He works in our lives. He chastens every son whom He believes. He wants the best out of us. And sometimes He calls us to hard things. Sometimes our callings are very hard. Jonah's was. So let's be faithful to the Lord in the days in which we live. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the story of Jonah, a city repenting in sackcloth and ashes. And I pray today You'd bring that same revival to this city, this town. We long for that. We long for people to get right with God, whatever it takes. Throughout the world, help us all to engage in the great harvest, the work that You have called us to do. And help us to understand You more and more, Your mercy and Your compassion, Your patience and long-suffering, and the way that You desire for all to be saved. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.